You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Sam Norris, joined by Dave Tindall this week to take a look at a couple of events. We've got the Honda Classic out in the States, and we've got the Oman Open on the European Tour, plus a reflection on last week's events as well. Time to introduce Mr. Dave Tindall to the podcast. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well, Sam. How are you?
Good, yeah. Not too bad at all. No look for yourself golf-wise last week, Dave, but I must say congratulations are in order for your recent exploits on the bays. That was some break that you achieved a couple of weeks ago now? Has DK already given you due congratulations on this podcast?
I'm not sure, actually. Might have done.
It's not in his nature, though, really, is it, to be fair?
I don't
know
why we're talking about snooker again, but I'm happy to say I had a break of 75, if anyone wants to. It was in practice. Wasn't in a game scenario, I have to say.
Okay. Still there, you've got...
Hours of playing on the 6x3 as a kid.
Right.
Came to fruition.
Good. Good stuff.
Better at snooker than I am at golf, which...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Does that frustrate you, or...?
I think it's just that, you know, that idea of 10,000 hours of practice?
Yes, yeah.
Which is why, you know, people aren't geniuses, they...
Yes, yeah, they're working,
you know,
it.
Even Messi has, you know, he didn't just bore.
No, of course.
It's because he puts the hours in. I never put the hours in at golf.
Right.
As I did at snooker.
Okay.
So relatively, I think I'm better. I always want to know, what's the equivalent of like a 50 break at snooker? What's the equivalent golf score for that?
Right,
level?
I see. Yeah.
If anyone has any ideas, let me know.
what's your best exploits on the golf course? Have you got a standout round that's in your mind?
81's the best I've ever done.
Okay. I mean, it's not terrible.
No, it's not great.
Back to the golf then, and a recap on last week's action. First of all, starting with the main event that we had last week in Mexico, and Patrick Reed just can't stay out of the news this year. But luckily, this week it was his golfing abilities that made the headlines rather than his sandcastle building abilities. And back in the winner's enclosure, and, you know, we've got Augusta in a month or so's time, where he, of course, won last year. And I suppose good for him to be back making headlines for the right reasons this week.
Yeah, he doesn't care, does he?
You
call him anything and just whatever. I don't even know if it's neutral. I think it's actually fuel to the fire, and I think it actually revs him up. So,
right, yeah.
You know, I'll show you mentality. He went off at a decent old price. Was he 40s or 50s?
Yeah,
61?
Yeah.
And you think, we've let a major winner, someone who's already won a WGC, go off at a good price again. And I think he sometimes gets pushed out a little. You know, he's not as kind of, you know, trendy or sexy as some of the other ones.
No one likes him, that's why.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know whether it bleeds into people's thinking, but I mean, it shouldn't do. Because,
no, of course not.
You know, if he's winning for you at 50-1, you know, he can do whatever he wants, can't he, really? Within reason.
Yeah, he can build all the sandcastles he likes.
Yes, in a golfing sense.
Yes, indeed. Commiserations to DK as well. I know he put up Bryson DeChambeau as his player that he didn't want to win last week on the podcast, but it was... It was double bubble for DK, because I know he ended up including him in his portfolio anyway, but he backed him win only. So not only was it the player he didn't want to win, he then did want him to win, and he didn't deliver.
The 25s, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So and he traded very, very short in the closing stages.
He came to win his race, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. On the back nine, and you thought, I think he had 7 birdies in 9 holes around the turn.
Mm.
And you thought, yep, he's got this one. And then he just faltered in the last 4 or 5 holes, and Reed's there to pounce.
I don't think DeChambeau had three-putted at all in his first 3 rounds, and then did it on 3 separate occasions during the final round.
Yeah, he's got a funny style, hasn't he? Mm. He looks all sort of tense. I don't know whether, you know, when it's the heat is really on, whether that somehow makes him freeze up a little bit and he doesn't flow as much with the stroke. But, I mean, he's always filling with stuff, and he'll probably work out that's the best thing to do. But I don't know, sometimes... When you look unnatural putting down the stretch, as a backer or a viewer, you sort of get the, I don't know about this.
Yeah, indeed. And talking about the 10,000 hours approach. That's probably something he's adopted with all his science that he applies to the game.
I'm sure he's read all the thinks very deeply about it. Well, I hope he has anyway. Yeah.
And the opposite event last week as well. Some finished to the Puerto Rico Open. Victor Hovland with his first win on tour, having lit up the Korn Ferry Tour last year, and on occasion on the main tour as well. And how about that birdie putt on 18 to seal it, a 30-footer? And you know, we talk about line and length when it comes to putting. If that wasn't in line, that's just going to keep rolling and rolling and rolling. You really got behind it.
Yeah, the hole got in the way, didn't it? But yeah. Sometimes players like that, there's something special about them. That's a kind of thrilling moment that they can produce to win his first.
Yep.
You're not just holing, it didn't just sort of fall in, it went wham. Some great, on Twitter, there was the Norwegian commentator.
Were they going mental?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was good, isn't it? In hindsight, yeah, I mean, it was a poor field. He was the class act of that field. I think he was 12-1.
Yep.
Got it done. So if you just, you know, taking that very simple approach, he's better than everyone else in that field, and yet 12-1. Is it the worst price in the world? Sometimes when you look at it, you think, but 12-1, it's funny with golf, isn't it? You think 12-1 is a terrible price.
You'd be delighted to back a horse that was 12-1.
Or you might pull up a 12-1 football. Wow, what a touch.
Do you think it's because it's the top of the market, though? Do you think it's because you've got favourites in your mind and you think, favourites always short.
Yeah, and the idea that, you know, you can back 50-1 winners in golf.
Yes, exactly.
They come along, it's not freakish. So.
Yes, sure.
But, yeah, if anyone backed him, well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you take it as a sign of real confidence when he really gets behind a putt like that and, you know, strikes it as firmly as he did?
I think that was his moment, wasn't it? He had a chance there, and he's just, you know, wasn't going to leave it short, and he's gone for it. Rewarded.
A bit of a shame, and this is just sport to a T, for Josh Teter. It was obviously a heartbreaking moment for him, really, but that is, I suppose, you know, one man's delight is another man's misery,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. So he would have been thinking, well, I've got to play off all day long here.
And when
it's on its way, and he's probably thinking, well, as long as this misses the hole,
we probably don't need to bother with the playoff.
Don't need to go beyond 72, but yeah, it's still a good week for him, obviously.
Yeah, indeed. Any other reflections from last week before we move on to our two events this week?
No, it was a good week. Rory was a bit strange. He started off fast.
He looked very confident to begin with.
Yeah, and then he kind of was a bit subdued for the next three rounds, and yet still shot in the 60s each time and finished fifth. So that's kind of what we're dealing with Rory at the minute. Can play sort of average, it seems, and still come fifth.
There were definite flashes there when he steps on the green for that eagle putt. He just looked like a man who didn't think he was going to miss it. That was quite early on in the tournament, and then, as you say, it just kind of tailed off a little bit.
And Justin Thomas was another one who you thought this is his week. He led going into the final round, and then he stalled, which is odd because he's normally a very good closer. So that was strange to see him fall away, but. As you say, that only one can win each week.
Yep.
So, absolutely. Know, everyone's got a little story of why they didn't.
Yeah, indeed. Let's try and dig out a couple of winners, hopefully, for this week. We'll start with the European Tour event, which takes us to Oman for the 2020 running of the Oman Open. We are 50 odds, six places here at William Hill if you are betting each way on this one. Played in Muscat, of course, which always makes me think of Kevin Muscat whenever I read that word, even in the context of Oman.
I wonder what he was sort of ringing a bell with me. I was thinking of Muskie off Muskie.
I don't know what it's from.
Deputy Dog or something. Anyway,
could well be one of those old cartoons.
Yeah,
which then sent me down a bit of a Kevin Muscat rabbit hole. When you type his name into Google and press space, the next suggested thing is tackle, and the one after that is like injury, and there's like a top five compilation of his worst tackles on
there.
Anyway, this is Muscat the place, not Muscat the man. Played at the Al Muj golf course, 7,365 yards in length, a 72 par. The third running of this event, won previously by Joost Luiten in 2018, and Kurt Kitayama is the reigning champion, although he actually tees it up in the US this week, so we won't be having a back-to-back winner. Thomas Peters is the 11-1 favourite. Martin Kaymer is 14-1. Thomas Detry is 18-1. Adrian Aus is 22-1. Joost Luiten, former winner, 22-1. Minwoo Lee, who was in the winner's enclosure a couple of weeks ago, 25-1 with Gavin Green. It's 33-1 and bigger for the rest of them. Not a spectacular field to go at, Dave, but, you know, there's one or two steady European Tour pros on there.
Yeah, there's a couple of Ryder Cup players at the front end there. It's a decent chance for someone maybe to sneak a win. Back to the desert, European Tour obviously needs to find somewhere nice to play where it's sunny. So the desert, we had a sort of early desert swing, and then we've got this week, and then we've got Qatar next week. Oh, it's on a new course in Qatar next week, which is a bit of a fly in the ointment.
Yeah.
That used to have lots of course form, but we'll discuss that in due course.
Indeed.
But yeah, this week it's... it's almost, you look at Thomas Peters, is he the Victor Hovland of this week? 11 to 1. Initially you go, nah, not for me, but if he wins, it wouldn't be a surprise. He's won in sort of modest fields before, when the Czech Open.
Right.
While at Czech Masters a few years ago. So he can do it, but I must say I wasn't too drawn towards him. The weather was a big factor last year. Look at the scores. And it blew, absolutely. I think players saying I've never seen it blow like this.
Really?
I think they had to suspend as well. So the weather forecast doesn't look as bad, but it's by the ocean, so you will get some wind. So that's something to think about, guys who can play well in the wind. I've got one pick.
Okay.
I've taken a bit of a chance. I'm going for someone at three figures.
All right.
Jack Senior.
Okay. Tell me about Jack Senior.
Yes, 100 to 1 Jack Senior. If you look at his bio, he played a lot on the Challenge Tour last year, did really well, and going further back, he was one of these heralded amateurs who beat, I think he beat Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth in the US Amateur 1 year. So the lad's got pedigree.
Yeah, that's all right for him, isn't it?
You have to say. So he played really, really well on the Challenge Tour last year, finished with fourth place in the Challenge Tour Grand Final. I think that got him to 6 in the overall standings. And then he's come out on the European Tour and took the eye with a fourth place at the South African Open at the start of January, his first start of 2020. Then he's backed that up with 30th in Abu Dhabi and 17th in the Saudi International, finished there with a 65. They were far better fields than this week. So you're thinking he's progressing there. He's got a fourth, 30th and a 17th. Back in the desert again. Clearly he can play desert golf.
Yep.
Looked through his stats, maybe one thing he wasn't too great at is putting, but he was second for putting average in the Saudi International.
Okay.
So you start to think, you can start to build a case for him, and you start thinking, desert golf, got to tick that one. He's putting rather well. The field's weaker. I just thought 100 to 1 was a little bit generous, to be honest, in this sort of field, given the fact that I don't think you'll find many players with his current form at that price.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Jack Senior, a 100 to 1 shot then for the Oman Open. Before we get stuck into the main event this week on the PGA Tour, were there any other ones that came close in Oman?
Not particularly. Just quickly on the course form. Although we've only had 2 years of it, this tournament, it was used on a Challenge Tour for, I think, 2013 to 17. Actually, Jack Senior played it a couple of those and finished 26. I should have added that to his case.
Yeah.
26 in 2015. So he's seen this layout, so that all helps. So you can go back and see some of the past form there. There's a few who've done well, several times. I think Jorge Campillo's got a second and a fourth. I'm trying to find. He's 70 to 1. He's just his form's sort of fallen off a cliff a bit. But if you really play the course angle, then that's particularly good. Good player. I think Justin Harding has been a friend of this podcast for quite a while. Tipped him at 50 to 1 when he won 1 year. I think that was in Qatar, maybe last time. He's 66 to 1. He's coming back to some form, it seems. So he's another one to look at. But overall, I found it a bit of a trappy event, really. I didn't want to go too short in the betting.
Yeah, you're happy with a 100 to 1 shot on your side, I suppose.
Take a punt.
Jack Senior then at 100 to 1 in the Oman Open. On to the PGA event this week, which is the 2020 Honda Classic. And again, an event that we are paying 50 odds, place 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 here at William Hill. And played at PGA National, or to give it its full name, the PGA National Resort and Spa, which despite its rather leisurely sounding name, is actually ranked as one of the toughest tracks on tour most years. They play on the Champion Course, weighing in at 7,125 yards in length and playing to a par of 70. And it's the run of holes from 15 to 17 which gives this course its notoriety. Nicknamed the Bear Trap, redesigned by Jack Nicklaus, and there are sand and water hazards aplenty all over the course. Keith Mitchell won this last year from Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler, also a previous winner of the event. They're all back this year. Tommy Fleetwood is 11-1. Kepka is 12-1. 14-1, Ricky Fowler. Gary Woodland, 22-1 with Justin Rose. Louis Thaysen is 25-1. Victor Hovland is 28-1, looking to make it back-to-back wings. Billy Horschel is 28-1. It's 30-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. As I just touched on there, Dave, this is a course where you need to have control of the golf ball off the tee because it is fraught with danger.
Yeah, if you look at the winning scores, it's often won with single digits under par. I think maybe five of the last six have been won. So it's a proper ball striker's test. Yeah. It's not just who puts well. You can sort of get away with that to some extent. Often it's windy. You've got to face the wind. And the other good thing for punters and golf fans, we're back to Florida.
Yep.
After all that time on the West Coast. So you can begin your manic refreshing of your phone more like midday.
Yes,
UK
at a more sensible time. Yeah,
and then get to bed a bit earlier.
Yes.
It's always good when it's in Florida. And obviously with that, the grass types change. We go to Bermuda grass in Florida. So some guys have struggled out on Poana out on the west. They suddenly, click into gear. Keith Mitchell, probably one of the best examples. He struggled on that grass. Then he got onto his favoured Bermuda grass, which he grew up playing. Suddenly it all clicked for him.
Yep.
So you can kind of maybe look across to West Coast form and thinking maybe that's all, don't take too much, put too much stock in that. Although, actually, I've gone for some players who've shown a bit of form out on the West. But
right.
Definitely, I think this is a tough old course. You want players who can grit it out, but proper ball strikers. And I've got three picks, actually.
Let's get stuck into those then.
Yeah, the first one, 80-1, Charles Schwartzel.
Okay.
Just plays this course really well. He's played it six times. He's got a fifth, a ninth, a 14th, and a 16th. The 16th came in last year. So this is a place where he goes to and he just likes. It's kind of maybe stuff he's grown up on in some sense, in that it's a hard, fast, bouncy track. It's sunshine in Florida, bit of wind, and he just seems to play well on these type of tracks. He's won the Valspar Championship in Florida, which is another, I think that's coming up in 3 weeks' time. So he's someone who I think this style of golf really does suit him. Now, he spent a lot of time out last year with a wrist injury, and he came back in the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa and finished third. And I thought, right, okay, he's back. And then he missed three cuts, and you thought, he's not back, is he?
But full storm.
Yes, possibly. But obviously, he needs to get the reps in a bit. He needs to get his hours in.
Yep.
Back to that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then after a few, he wasn't shooting disgraceful scores by any means, but he just struggled a little bit, missed a cut in Phoenix. Then he went to Pebble Beach and was fifth last time. So I thought, all right, that's, it wasn't just like a one-off flash in the pan.
Sure.
I think he is coming back now with something to prove. So he's got that fifth on his last start. He's got this great course form. He's a Masters winner. He's a major winner. Charles Schwartzel knows how to get it done. And I thought 80-1 was very fair in this field.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very good field, but
yes,
just 80-1 on a player of his class was worth a look.
Yeah, and interesting you mentioned the form in Florida, because we're about to begin a Florida swing, really.
Yeah.
So if not this week, possibly one to keep in mind who generally likes these conditions.
Yeah, the Valspar is, I think, the one where people will look to him most, because he's won there. And he's
sure he'll be priced accordingly, though, I suppose.
So I think some will be knocked off his price there. But he's coming in here, it's almost as if that fifth at Pebble has been slightly ignored. I would have thought he would have been more harshly treated on the back of that. But must have given him confidence. He played nicely there. So 80-1. Yeah, I won't be backing him at short prices yet, but I think I can pull the trigger at that.
Charles Schwartzel, then, the first pick at 80-1. Pick number two, please, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going for Harris English.
Okay.
I think he'll be a popular pick this week, because he's from Florida, so he's got the experience of this course and this area. Played it for the first time in 2012, and he was going great guns, had a chance to win, but shot the final round 77. But still, I think it was money in the bank in terms of one day he could go to this course and do well again. He was finished 18th that year, struggled for a few years on his return, but last two he was 33rd in 2018, again a bit of a poor round. But then last year he finished with a pair of 68s on the weekend for 12th. So I think slowly but surely PGA National, he's thinking, I can do well here. He's striking the ball really, really well this year, and that's shown in his results. If you go back, it's weird, isn't it? The PGA Tour season started in September.
Right.
Yeah, just think that's so long
ago. Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's like the Masters is like halfway through, and it used to be one of the early
events. Yeah.
So he was great early on. He was fourth at Greenbrier, sixth at the Sanderson Farms. Then that was both in September. In October, fourth at the Houston Open. November, fifth at the Mayakoba. Then he just had a little dip. Maybe just the Christmas break didn't do him any favours. Just needed to get a go. Winter breaks don't always do people favours.
No, they don't. Sometimes they're rusty.
I went to Liverpool last night and I was thinking, oh, what's going on here? 2-1 down to West Ham.
Yeah.
And you're thinking the winter break's not
been a few helped. Teams that have come back and looked just a little bit ring rusty after the winter break.
I'm sure they'll reap the benefits down the line. For now, maybe take some time, and maybe that's the same with Harris English. Didn't get it going for the first two events, but then last time at the Phoenix Open opened with a 65 and then played well on the weekend for 16th. So I think he's got these kind of converging trends of course form and current form. And he's, what, 66
yeah,
to 1?
66 indeed.
Yeah, so again, he can take a bit of a punt at that price. And first for greens in regulation at the Phoenix Open. So he's doing the thing that you need to do well.
Yes.
See what I mean?
Yes, yeah, I do. Good stuff. Harris English then at 66 to 1. And the third of your trio this week, Dave.
Yeah, I think he's been backed already. So he's been cut a little bit. Wyndham Clark. Oh, he's been... damn.
60 to 1 now. Yes. Were you hoping for...
He was 70s, I think.
Right, okay.
I think he was 66 when I got the train in this morning.
He's trending in, well, I suppose the right direction if you've already backed him, the wrong direction if you haven't yet.
So hopefully you'll knock this podcast out quick, Sam, before he hits 50s.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see why he's very popular in the betting community this week. Running into some nice form. Last three starts, 34th in Phoenix, 18th at Pebble, 17th at Riviera. Playing some really nice golf again, putted really well at the Genesis. And then, of course, on this track, PGA National, he was seventh on his debut last year. 69, 67, 67 to begin with. Gave him a great chance of winning, actually, then 72 on the final day. But Wyndham Clark makes lots of birdies, just coming into form. And it's fair, it's not rocket science why people are picking him, I don't think. But
yeah.
It's just one of those where you think, I don't want to miss him. And I can tolerate 60s. I wouldn't have gone much shorter than that.
Yeah.
We'll give him a go.
That's my kind of pick, that. I like the blindingly obvious. If I have to think about it too much, too scientific.
Yeah,
too
you can overthink it in golf betting, because you kind of think, well, I don't want to put up something so obvious.
Yeah.
And yet sometimes, their chance is what it is.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
You don't need to think too scientifically, but we all play that game when we see the winner. Could we have backed him?
Yeah.
And with Wyndham Clark, if he wins this week, my God, yes, we could have backed him at 60
to 1. Absolutely, indeed. And of course, you're always looking for the right price. What's the right price in your mind? What's value?
Yeah.
But at the same time, 60 to 1 winners are not to be sniffed at. You wouldn't want to be in the business of turning those down, would you?
No, I mean, you've got to have some sort of limits, haven't you, kind of thing. But, if he'd been thrown in too short, and 60s is the bottom end of acceptability,
right.
But it doesn't help that the price changed. But that's what happens.
Yeah, of course.
You know, people see a price and back it. And I think Wyndham Clark will be a well-backed outsider this week.
And at least I suppose you've got the confidence that your thinking is backed up by others out there.
Yeah, sometimes helps. Isn't it? Although sometimes these sort of mass punts, they never seem
to come off.
Yeah, it's almost like, oh, don't you tip him or pick him as well. But, yeah, we'll see.
Of the rest, then, obviously, it's a classy front end of the market. Tommy Fleetwood, Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler. The latter pairing have gone well here. We're both tied runner-up last year. Fowler's won it before. Hasn't been on the tour for a little while. Justin Rose tees it up here this week. There's obviously a lot of star names toward the front end of the market.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that front three that slightly separated themselves from the rest in terms of price... I saw someone on Twitter say, I think 12 to 1 Tommy Fleetwood was the worst, contender for the worst price of the year.
Right, really?
He's 11, say. But you can sort of see why he doesn't, he's not won on American soil, so you're asking him to be backed at 11 to 1.
But I was a bit surprised he was shorter than Koepka and Fowler, who've proven it here as recently as last year.
Kepka's not hit his straps yet since coming back from injury. But yeah, you could argue that he's Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, exactly.
Fowler, again, does he win enough for a 14-1 shot? You could argue not, but he's got some great course form.
And you'll get a lot of place money with him as well. I mean, I think he'll probably keep you afloat just from all the,
yeah, as
all
long
the
as
place
you can,
money he gets.
Yeah, as long as you go into it and not throw a tantrum if he doesn't win.
Yes.
But if you think, well, I backed him each way. You know,
But
yeah, last 3 years here, he's got a win and a second.
Yep.
So his chance is obvious. I was more taken by the next rung of players.
Yep.
I think Gary Woodland is definitely, this is his sort of course, 22-1. I thought that was a decent price. I thought he played quite well in Mexico, Gary Woodland. In terms of course form, he was runner-up in 2017, a sixth in 2011, so he knows how to play this course, 12th in Mexico. Justin Rose is the one that you could argue, if you're just looking at, if you haven't maybe taken a really close look at golf over the last few months, you think, why isn't he in with the 12s and the 14s? Just his current form's been a little wobbly of late. But he did, it went a little bit under the radar that he played in the Singapore Open in mid-January. I know it's only the Singapore Open, but there's a few good names in that. He was runner-up, so he's not doing an awful lot wrong. But he missed the cut at Torrey Pines, and then he was only 56 at Riviera. So he's just not quite clicking. He played the first two rounds well at Riviera, a pair of 69s. But in terms of, you talk about each way betting, at 22-1, he's finished in the top five three of the last 4 years here. Not the last 4 years, but three of his last four attempts at this tournament, being in the top five. So again, if he runs into a place, absolutely no surprise. You think, 22, that's quite nice.
Indeed, and don't forget, we're betting six places on this event, as indeed we are on the European Tour event this week as well. Just sum it up then for us, please, Dave, and inform us of how you plan to stake this week.
Yeah, final mention just on the Hondas. I think
lots
of people will back Billy Horschel.
Okay, yeah. He was, started last week really, really well, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was,
and he's just very good in Florida.
Yes.
28, just thought a bit tight, maybe.
Fine.
Staking plan, the Oman Open, I'll go half a point each way on Jack Senior at 100-1. And then in the Honda Classic, got three picks here. I'll go a point each way, Charles Schwartzley, is kind of my nap, I guess, at 80-1. And then I'll go half a point each way, Harris English at 66-1. And half a point each way on Wyndham Clark, also at 66-1.
Into 60-1, of course, now, isn't he? Wyndham Clark.
Yes, I'm going off my sheet.
Just because you say 66 doesn't mean they'll pay you 66.
No.
Yeah. 60-1 then for Wyndham Clark, 66-1 for Harris English, and 80-1 for Charles Schwartzel in the US this week, and Jack Senior at 100-1 out in Oman. Do check out all the golf betting ahead of the two events this week at William Hill, and don't forget, with six places of 50 odds on both of those tournaments. Dave, thank you for that. Great to chat to you as always, and best of luck with it this week.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.